presence. Lord, the first thing we ask, Lord, is that you just fill us with your Spirit. Fill our hearts, fill myself, Lord, fill each person that is here, that we may see you this morning for who you are. That's what our hearts long for. It's just to connect with you, Lord, this morning. And so, Lord, even, Lord, as I begin to talk, Lord, or preach and just share whatever is on my heart, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just fill your people and just whisper into their ears this morning that you love them. And that, Lord, as we are all here together, Lord, that you are here with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share a story with you this morning. I know that's a difficult slide to see, but can anybody guess what that is? It's a car, that's right. It's a car, and you can see that it has one headlight working and one of the headlights is not working. And I found myself in that position there recently. Pretty much everybody knows that I work in Teig Lynn. I've shared that before. I live in Nurney, and so I have a new route. I used to live in Nace, and so I leave my house in the morning, and I head towards a place called Dunlavin. Some of you know where Dunlavin is. I go through Dunlavin, and then I come to a place called Hollywood. It's not the Hollywood of the USA, but there is a big sign on the hill that says Hollywood, and it's cool, like, you know. So every time I go to work in the morning, I see that sign in the morning. I think, there's Hollywood. I'm going through Hollywood. It's cool, it is, you know. And so from Hollywood, then I go over the Wicklow Mountains, what's called the Wicklow Gap. Any of you people who have ever traveled over the Wicklow Gap, you'll all know that there's many obstacles on the way. It could be a sheep. They just seem to wander. Do you know what I'm saying? They don't even get out of the way. Like, you know, I'd be coming along in my little Corsa, and there'd be a couple of sheep on the way, in the middle of the road, like, and they wouldn't even have the decency to get out of the way. Like, I kind of feel like I'm in their territory sometimes, you know, that this is their land and I'm just kind of passing through. But they don't get out of the way until you beep your horn or slow down or whatever. And if it's not sheep, like, it's deer, like. And they're stubborn. Deer are stubborn. I found out this the hard way. Like, you could be traveling over the Wicklow Gap, like, and you come along and there's a deer in the middle of the road. Do you think he'd move? No, he wouldn't. He would just stare you over. He'd just look at you. And there you just... And eventually they might move out of the way, or you might see yourself a little goat or something. But you will know this, is that there is no street lights on the Wicklow Gap, like. And when you're going over the Wicklow Gap, over the Wicklow Mountains, like, you're going uphill and then you're going downhill, and you're kind of, you know, the road kind of isn't a straight road, like. There's no roundabouts, like. There's no lights. And so because, like, we're in kind of November, we're coming into that season where the evenings get darker, don't they? You know, like, 5:30, 5:00, like, it's getting dark, like. And so recently, one of my, the bulbs of my headlight on my little Vauxhall Corsa, it went. And I thought to myself, I need to get that changed. Now, there are many things that I'm confident and comfortable with. You ask me, preach a sermon. I could preach a sermon, like. You ask me to work with people in addiction. I could do that, like. But when it comes to cars, like, even though I like driving cars, I kind of get a little bit unsettled, because the minute I look under a bonnet of a car, I just kind of think, oh, that just looks weird to me. Like, I just don't feel confident enough to kind of fix cars. Now, there are people who can fix cars, like, you know, they'd be able to do some brake pads. They would be able to kind of do stuff to fix the car. But me, when it comes to anything got to do with a car, yeah, I can drive it. But when it comes to fixing it, I'm not really that confident. Actually, I used to have another car, and I remember one time that I had 3 bulbs that needed replacing. There were some in the headlights and some in the backlights. And because I wasn't confident enough to replace the bulbs, I went down to Halvert's. They're up in Nace, like, and they'll replace your bulbs for you. And they'll charge you as well. I remember they charged me about €70, and I thought to myself, I wasn't expecting that, like, €70 for replacing bulbs in a car, like. But obviously they know what they're doing, don't they? Anyway, long story short, I had a headlight that needed a replacement bulb, and I thought to myself, I'm not paying money out to another person to do this. Surely you can do this, like. Surely it can't be too hard to replace a bulb in a headlight on my little Vauxhall Corsa. And so I thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to do this. And so I went onto Google. Like, that's the sign for Google. I Googled what type of bulb I needed. And I found out what type of bulb I needed. And then after that, I went onto YouTube. That's the sign for YouTube. And I found videos of how to replace a bulb in a headlamp on a Vauxhall Corsa or an Opel Corsa, same type of car, like, you know. And so I thought to myself, all right, well, if this guy on YouTube can do it, then surely I can do it. It can't be too difficult. We've all heard the jokes of how many people does it take to change a light bulb. And I thought, surely I can do this. It's not beyond me. And so I found a video that took me through the various steps. And there are various steps to changing a bulb on a headlamp. And I'm going to show you. The first thing that I needed to do, like, now I don't know if you've done this, like, but the first thing that I needed to do was to remove this box. It's like a black box, and it's called an air filter. I don't know what it does, but that's what it's called. And in order to replace the head bulb, I needed to remove this air filter. And this big black box is connected to a black arm, and so I needed to remove that. And do you think it'd come out for me? It would not come out, like. I was yanking it, I was pulling it to the left, I was pulling it to the right, and it just wouldn't come out, like. And I began to look to see if there was any bolts or nuts and bolts that was connecting it. And maybe I thought, maybe it's screwed in or something, that I'm missing something. And it just wouldn't come out. I was there for about 10 minutes. The air filter wouldn't come out, like. And before I'd even started, I was getting a little bit upset with myself. I thought, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to do this. If I'm here all day, I'm going to do this. And so I went back onto YouTube. And I found another video of a man taking out an air filter. And he just yanked it right out, like. And I thought, well, if he can do that, I can do that. And so I just pulled it. And it came out. After about 10 minutes, like. And I thought, right, we're getting somewhere now. I have the bonnet open. I have the air filter out. Yeah, I'm getting there. This shouldn't take too long. And so there was a couple of other things I needed to do. Like, I'd never seen this stuff in my life, like. The next thing I needed to do is that on the front of your car where your headlights are, at the back of that, there's a little plastic cap. And you have to take that cap off because that cap kind of protects the bulb. Do you think that cap would come off for me? I'm like, if the cap had a voice, he'd be saying, I'm not coming out to play today. I'm not coming off today. You know, you can pull me all you want, but it ain't happening. And so there I was for about 5 minutes trying to pull this cap off. And then I had a half off and I thought to myself, I'll get a screwdriver in, I'll yank it off. I eventually, after about 5 or 6 minutes, got this cap off. See this big thing here? Got it off. I thought, yeah, lovely, I'm getting somewhere. I have the air filter off, I have the cap off. And then the only thing I had to do then was to take out the bulb. And this is the bulb. This is what one of these bulbs look like in your car. It's not like the bulb that you'd put in your ceiling, like. And so I put my head into the bonnet, I took the old bulb out and I put the new bulb in. But the amazing thing is that these particular bulbs, there's like a little groove on the side of them. So they have to connect in such a certain way where it locks into place. Do you think I could get that to lock into place? I thought, and every time that I was trying to look into the headlamp to lock it into place, this big black arm off the air filter was getting in the way, like. It kept on knocking me in the head, like. And so I had my head in the bonnet and this thing would keep on knocking me in the head. Eventually I called for Orla. I said, Orla, come and help me. Come and hold this arm here and get the iPhone with the torch on it and shine it in here so I can get the bulb into place. I was there for about 15 minutes trying to get this little bulb to lock into place. Do you think I could get it into place? It just wouldn't lock in for me, like. And I thought to myself, like, what's going on? What am I doing wrong, like? And all of these obstacles were in my way, like. It was just like they were coming against me, like. And I thought to myself, sure, if people on YouTube can do it, surely I can do it. Like, this isn't beyond me. And so, I eventually got it into place. And I thought to myself, at the beginning of the process, I thought, this is going to be easy. You know, replacing a bulb on a car, this is going to be easy. But it wasn't easy. I found actually it was hard work. Because all of these little air filters and caps and bulbs and all of these kind of pieces, they were all kind of obstacles in my way. I had one thing in mind, was just to replace the bulb. And I actually found the whole process very, very hard work. And at the very end of the whole job, which was about 40 minutes to change one bulb, my hands were dirty like. And I thought to myself, I didn't envisage that was going to happen. And I thought to myself, all I wanted was a little bit more light. And all the work and all the stress and all the effort and all the obstacles that were in my way. And all I wanted was a little bit more light, because if I had a little bit more light in my car, then I would be able to see where I'm going when I'm going over the Wicklow Gap. Because if there's any obstacles on the road, I'd be able to see them. I wouldn't be putting myself in danger. Oh, man alive. And then I knew I was preaching on Sunday. And then I brought myself towards the Lord. And I says, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? He says, I want you to talk about your headlamp. And so I began to think about that. And then I began to think that it actually reminds me. It reminds me that, you know, most of us have been on the road for some time. Haven't we? Haven't you been on the road of faith? You've been following the Lord for some time, like following the Lord and walking in faith with the Lord. You know, most of us here this morning, we've been on the road for a while. And it's like, we've been there, we've done that, we've wore the t-shirt. I'm not speaking to new believers here this morning. We've all been on the road for some time. And then I realized, you know, the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything. There's a time to live, there's a time to die, there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap. And then I began to think, there's a time for light. And there's also a time where things seem dim. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your own particular walk with the Lord, where there have been times where, yes, everything seems bright and illuminated. You can see where you're going. You look out into your future. You look out into the direction that you're traveling. And you can see, yeah, I can see where I'm going. It's like that you're driving a vehicle and you've got your full beams on. You can see where you're going. There's no problems with light because everything is illuminated before you. But I don't know about you, but there have been times and seasons in my life, and I'll hold my hands up and I'll say, yeah, you know, I feel if somebody were to ask me, what's it like for you? There have been times and seasons where I would describe my spiritual walk or spiritual experiences, I'm like a car with only one headlight shining. I need a little bit more light because things seem dim. Has life ever seemed a little bit dim? It's not that there is no light. There is. But you could do with a little bit more. Because if you had a little bit more, then you could see clearly. You could see the direction that you're going. And I think sometimes the spiritual life or the Christian life, yeah, it seems easy. You know, you say to yourself, I can do this. I'm doing it. I'm walking by faith. I'm believing. I'm praying. I'm doing all of those things. Yeah, it seems easy. But then there are other times where even the things that are supposed to be easy are hard work. Have you ever experienced that? Where there seems to be, everywhere you go, there seems to be an obstacle. And these little things, these little obstacles that seem to get in the way, they seem to kind of irritate. Whereas other times they wouldn't irritate us, but now they're kind of getting in on me. They're kind of upsetting me. And I thought to myself, yeah, there are times when we would say to the Lord, I just need a little bit more light. Come and fill me with your presence. Come and fill me with your spirit so that I have a little bit more light. So that life or the road of faith doesn't seem dim. And so this morning, if that's something that you've experienced, if that's something that's on your heart where you would say to yourself and you'd say to the Lord, Lord, yeah, I think I'd like a little bit more light. It's not that I don't have any light, but I'd just like a little bit more. I'd like to be in a car that has full beam on, that I can see where I'm going, that the road that I'm traveling on, that I can see. That as I look out, yes, there is light. And I read a passage of scripture that seemed to document that if anybody wanted a little bit more light, it talks about this in Hebrews. It talks about coming to God. And I've highlighted some of the words there. And they seem, as I read it, they seem to kind of be a step-by-step process. That if anybody wanted to come to God, it seems to be by this kind of order. And it says here, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. And the heading of the little portion of scripture is called, A Call to Persevere. And it says this, And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And you can see there that I've highlighted the words boldly enter. Is that when we come to God by faith, we can come with a boldness and a confidence. And someone may say, well, how can you come boldly? You can come into his presence boldly because you know who he is. You know who God is. You know him. He is your gracious and loving Heavenly Father. He is approachable. He is kind. He is generous. He is approachable. I think about little children when they're out playing in front of on the road, and then they run into the house and they run in confidently. They run in with a boldness. Why? Because it's their house. And they know that their parents live in that house. And so they don't have to fear running into their own house. When I was a little boy, or you were a little boy or a girl, you'd play out on the road and then you'd run back into your house because it's your house. And so God's house is your house. And your gracious and your loving Heavenly Father is in that house. And you know him. And because you know him, you can come in boldly with a confidence. And it's not only because you know him, but you know yourself. You know yourself. You know who you are. You are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings. You are a king's kid. You are belonging to your loving Heavenly Father. You are a daughter of the King. You are a son of the Most High God. That's who you are. You are royalty this morning. I don't know when you looked in the mirror this morning when before you came to church and you said to yourself, do you know something? I'm royalty. But you are, because you're part of the King of Kings. And so therefore, if you are royalty because you're a part of the King of Kings, then you can come into the throne room with a boldness and with a confidence. You don't have to fear because you know him and you know who he is. And so the first step, that if anybody wanted a little bit more light in their life, then they come to the one who is light, and they can come boldly into his most holy place. And the second part is, you'll notice that I've highlighted the blood of Jesus. You see, when we come into God's presence, we can come with a boldness and a confidence, but it's not based on the work that I have done, or it's not based on the work that you have done. It's actually based on the work that Jesus has done. It's based on the fact that he went to the cross, he died and he rose again, and that he shed his blood. And by the shedding of his blood, it purchased salvation for you. You have been bought with a price, and that price was the shedding of the blood of Jesus. And we know that the blood of Jesus cleanses sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And so what are we saying this morning? We're saying that it's not, I don't have to work for it. I don't have to work to make God love me. I don't have to do all these nice, fancy, righteous things. No, it's based on the work that Jesus Christ has accomplished on Calvary's cross. Entering into God's presence, walking with him by faith, is all because of what Jesus has already done. And so it's because he has shed his blood, had made us nice and clean in the presence of God, that we can come boldly into the very presence of the most holy place, which is the place of God's house. Let's follow on. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. You can see that I've highlighted some of those words. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts. You see, when you come into God's presence, God wants you to come right into the very center of his presence. He doesn't want you just kind of hanging around on the outside, you know, watching everybody else going in. When I think about this, I think about, imagine having a ticket for, you know, the FA Cup final at Wembley, or a ticket for, you know, a football sporting event in Croke Park. And if you had a ticket to be in there, but you didn't go in there, you just hung about outside. Everybody else was going in, but you didn't go in. You thought to yourself, oh, no, I'm just going to hang about out here. You'd be disappointed because you have a ticket, you have access, you have the right to be in there, in the right center of his presence. But if you chose not to go in, you'd be missing out, wouldn't you? And I think to myself, if I had a ticket to be at Old Trafford, and I follow Man United, but if I had a ticket to be at Old Trafford, but if I never used it, I'd be missing out. And sometimes it's a bit like that, is that you have the right, you have the way, you have the access to be in the center of God's presence, to come boldly and confidently and stand before the one who loves you and the one who adores you. And the only thing he asks is that you come in with a sincere heart. That's the only thing that God asks. He says, here, look, when you come in, come boldly, come confidently, because you know who I am and I know who you are. Everything is okay. Just come in with a sincere heart. That's all. That's the only requirement to be in the center of God's presence. And what is it to have a sincere heart? I suppose to have a sincere heart is to just to be honest with yourself. Just to kind of say, this is who I am. This is where I've been. These are the things I'm doing. And this is what I need. And so I come to you. And as I come to you, I come with a sincerity in my heart that I need you. I want you in my life. Come and strengthen me by the grace of your Spirit. God asks one thing, is that when you come to him, just be sincere. Just be sincere in yourself. You don't have to pretend to be somebody else. You don't have to pretend that you know stuff, because God knows you. He says, I know everything about you. I know the hairs on your head. I know you before you rise. That's Psalm 139. Before a word is on your tongue, I know you completely, says the Lord. And so the only requirement that the Lord would ask is that when we come to him, we come with sincerity in our hearts. Following on, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. You'll notice that I've highlighted those words, guilty consciences and sprinkled. I don't know about you, but often what seems to happen is that when we come to the Lord and we come into his presence, sometimes we feel a bit guilty. And sometimes it's almost like we condemn ourselves. We think to ourselves, I'm not a good enough follower of the Lord, or I haven't done enough by faith, or I haven't lived holy enough. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Nobody else is condemning us, but we often condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up and we say to ourselves, I should be a better believer. I should be doing more. I should be praying more. I should be reading the Bible more. And so what happens is we begin to condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We're our own worst enemies at times. And sometimes when you come into God's presence, you feel a little bit guilty in your mind. You think, I should have done more. But God doesn't condemn you. Your gracious and your loving Heavenly Father, remember what the Word says, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God doesn't condemn you, so don't condemn yourself. Don't beat yourself up when He's not beating you up. He's just saying, come. Come into my presence. Come into where I am. Come in by faith. And you'll notice that the word sprinkled with Christ's blood. Sometimes when we come into God's presence, it seems like God sprinkles some of the blood of Jesus upon us. It's not that He hasn't forgiven us. He has. When we first come to the Lord, we say, Lord, I come to you. I turn away from everything that I know is wrong. And at that moment of time, the Lord will apply the precious blood of Jesus to us. And so we are totally forgiven of anything and everything that we know is wrong in the past and the future. But sometimes when you come into God's presence, He will sprinkle the blood of Jesus. And it's a reminder that He's already forgiven you. See, God, when God forgives, He forgets. And so when we come to Him, He doesn't remember. And so often we'll say to Him, oh, I should have done this and I didn't do that. And God is like, what? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Because He's already forgiven you and He's already forgotten what He forgave you for. Because God doesn't hold these things against us. And often we hold things against ourselves. And so when you come into God's presence, He will just remind you of His love. He will remind you of Jesus. He will remind you of the preciousness of the blood that was shed for you. And as you stand there, and as you stand before the One who loves you, you may say these words, wash over me, Lord. Wash me with the waters of your Spirit. Wash me in your presence. And so, as I read that passage of Scripture, I began to think that documents coming to God. And if anybody was on the road a long time, and if anybody was to describe their own experience of being like a car with only one headlight, who said to themselves, oh, I just need a little bit more light in my life. Well, that documents how to do it. And so this morning, I'd like us all to do this. I'd like us to do this by faith. And if you're here this morning and you're saying that you'd like a little bit more light in your heart, or a little bit more light, just so that you can see a little bit more clearly, then all you have to do is to boldly come. And so close your eyes. And if you want, you can follow me in this. Lord, we come to you and we say, Lord, our prayer this morning is that we would like more light, more of the light of your presence in our hearts, so that we can begin to see more clearly on the road that we are on. And so this morning, we respond to your word. We say that we boldly come to you this morning as your children. We don't have to fear. We don't have to explain. We don't have to be worried, but we boldly come to you because we know who you are and we know that we are your children. We also come not on any of the work that we have done, but we come rest assured and confident of the word of the work that has taken place by Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. It is by His death and His resurrection, and by His blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross, that we come to you this morning, O God. And Lord, we come and we come right into your presence. We're not going to hang about on the outside, watching everybody else going and having a good time. No, this morning we're coming right in to your presence. We're coming right into where you are by faith this morning. And as we come, Lord, we come with a sincerity in our hearts. We simply say, Lord, we need you. Lord, we desire you. Lord, we come to you by faith. And as you come to the Lord this morning, if you're feeling guilty in any way, the Lord would like to just remind you that He loves you and has forgiven you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven. You are holy and dearly loved. You are precious in His sight. He has purchased your salvation by the precious blood of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And so you do not have to be condemned. He does not condemn you. Do not condemn yourself. And as you are in the precious presence of the Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would wash over us by your Spirit. By the waters of your presence, by the waters of your Spirit, wash over us that we may know the fullness of your presence and the fullness of being in the light of your presence. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, we pray. Fill us, Lord, that as we rise and as we walk, that we can say we have more light because we have met with Him who is the light of the world. And so this morning, in a very simple way, we come to you, the one who loves us, the one who cherishes us, the one who has us in the palms of His hand. This morning we choose not to gaze upon the problem, but this morning we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We look towards you and to the shining of your face. We remember that you are the one who smiles upon us. You are the one that goes before us. You are the one who is with us on our right side, on our left side. You are the one who has deposited your Spirit within us as a guarantee that we belong to the Lord. We are your people. And so this morning, we ask, Lord, for a little bit more light. The light of your Spirit, the light of your Word, and the light of being in your presence. And as your people do this morning, Lord, fill them. Fill the young people and the old people, anybody that is here this morning, fill them by your Spirit, that they may know you in a better way. All of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Just linger in the presence of the Lord. Just linger and commune with God in a way that you know how. God, your loving and gracious Heavenly Father, knows you. He loves you. Just rest in the holy presence of God.